Good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, depending on the time it is. You've tuned in to the new episode of Eat the Storms, the poetry podcast. My name is Damien B. Donnelly. I'm your host and producer, and welcome to episode 7, season 7, on platforms such as Spotify, Apple, Google, Breaker, Podbean, Player FM, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Castbox, Podcast Addicts, and iTunes. We are back, and I cannot be more excited. What a week it has been. We just had our sensational, epic 20 Poet podcast special last weekend to celebrate Pride. It was the month of June, and all around the world, it has been a Pride celebration, celebrating the LGBTQAI plus community. And we had poets from almost every continent taking part in last week's show. So a huge thank you to every one of you who tuned in, and thanks again to all my wonderful poets. And I'm delighted to say that Trauma, the new pamphlet from J.P. Seabright, our Pride Poet of the Month, published by Fifth Wheel Press, just arrived in the post this week. I love me some poetry post. Now, also this week, we close the doors on issue 3 submissions for The Storms, our fantastic journal of poetry, prose and visual arts that is now seeing its first 2 issues literally travel all around the world to so many countries, and it has been taken in by so many hearts. So thank you so much to each and every one of you for your acceptance, your appreciation, for buying, for contributing, for reading, for cheering. It really means the world to us here. Well, it certainly means the world to me. Now, myself and my current sub-editor for issue 3, Nitti Kassa, are so excited to discover all you have sent us for issue 3, and we are delighted that we will be soon giving birth to a new issue. Now, this was also a week of celebrations, as I personally heard that I've been awarded a full bursary to the John Hewitt International Summer School taking place in Armagh in Northern Ireland from the 25th of July, and I cannot wait. The bags are already packed. The excitement has been squashed into the tiny pockets on the outside because the inside is far too squashed to fit anything more. I've already seen that Anne McDonald is one of my fellow awardees. Kathy Carson is going to be marvellous doing her one-woman show, Becoming Marvellous. And our featured prose writer for issue 3 of the Storms Journal, Biddy Lee, is going to be the toast of the festival on Friday night with Flash Fiction Armagh, which will also include my very own Venus in Pink marble, Gaynor Kane. And I've also just heard in the grapevine that Karen Mooney is also coming too. I cannot wait. A huge thank you to everyone at the John Hewitt Summer School for giving me this bursary. And to the rest of you, go look at the itinerary and grab your ticket now. Now let's get on with today's show, because we have another fantastically diverse, enthusiastic and creative lineup. Today we are bringing you Sirens of the Ocean Weaving Sea Spawn and Sea Rack, Feelings of Shrinking to the Size of a Pea and Being Squashed on a Treadbare Carpet, One Man Screaming of Rage and Sorrow and Shame for the Silence Put Upon Women, as another waits to hear the river's stories, while another listens to the sounds full of sunlight on the radio and contemplates the extinction of old bearers of Ireland. Thank you so much to all of you for tuning in to these guests. It's an enormous honour to curate this show every week, but it's also such a joy to think that you are tuning in out there and listening to these stories. And with that in mind, I suggest you make sure the tea is brewed, the phone is on silent, and the cake has been cut. This is Eat the Storms. My name is Damien B. Donnelly, and I hope you enjoy the show. Delighted to say that today we are kickstarting the show with a returning stormer taking us all the way to Mexico. Someone who's used to traveling, as he actually hitchhiked through 17 countries and 35 US states and is now living in Pueblo, Mexico, in Mexico. Last time he was with us, he read from Schematics and Assemblies of the Cosmic Heart, which was shortlisted for the Faulkner Wisdom Poetry Prize. And aside from poetry, he has also published the novels Mr. Robert's Bones, recently adapted to the screen, and his most recent novel, Alice, recently selected for the Innovative Fiction Book Club. Today he's going to share with us poems from his new book of poetry, which is coming very soon, called The Day We Met in Earthly Time. I am delighted to hand you over to the always interesting and equally excellent Gary Gauthier.
First, let me thank Damien for having me back. Last time, I read from my previous collection, Schematics and Assemblies of the Cosmic Heart, which was published in 2021. Today's poems are from my new collection, The Day We Met in Earthly Time, which I hope to get in print by the end of the year. In this new collection, there is no linear narrative, but there are threads and repetitions that weave back and forth across the poems, and you may see some of that in the 7 poems I'm about to read. The first one is the title poem, The Day We Met in Earthly Time. We split our tacos down the middle. The lake shimmered behind your head, a geometry of water surfaces as ducks and paddle boats cast their wakes. We talked of D.H. Lawrence and transcendence, of Balzac and the little Chinese seamstress, of my novel, Alice, and how you took your name from the same character. As if we'd known each other 1,000 years, but due to some weird tear in the cosmic fabric, we didn't meet in earthly time until a few hours passed. But the three fates, eternal weavers of destiny, of lives, of our lives, are remorseless, not cruel, not compassionate, but steadily they weave, each a life, a thread from the spindle. Threads weave together and unravel, but a fabric ripped is soon mended. The fates spin tirelessly. All tears will mend. And our weird tear, the opening on the surface in which we met face to face for a moment, that tear too was mended. I sometimes still walk to that lake to see the ducks and the paddle boats, to see the surface shimmers, the bouncing specks of sun, and I try to picture you laughing and splitting our tacos down the middle. The second poem is called At the Mirador in Noria Alta. Dragons of the earth, flashing red and green and gold, once moved to the galaxies above, cry out. They rage against fate and thrash their tails in a glitter of fiery stars. Sirens of the ocean, weaving sea spawn and sea wrack, removed to the same night sky, they rage against time and weep for their watery home in teardrop stars. And we, what have we to do with dragons, with sirens? We who see only the stars, only beauty. We who've lost the exquisite pain of those elemental beings. We have nothing to do but await the next wound, await being ripped aloft from the earth, soothed for now in soft forgetfulness, in the bare beauty of the night sky, where sirens silently weep the more because they cannot weep for us. The third poem today is La Via Rose. Swans and apples, balcony breakfasts, skin hunger, a touch, no, a word, no, not even a word, a sound far away past the cathedral, somewhere in the wind, a sound with just a memory of meaning, of joy, of sadness. La Via Rose. This next one is called Make the Room Bright. After wine, after friends, in your room pushing back bedtime forever, you strummed songs on your guitar, songs you had written in England, Spain, Greece, Mexico. I read you my poems. You fell asleep. Darkness. I stayed awake as the last bits of beauty smoldered and went out. I stayed awake all night, and the darkness filled with all the joys and sadness of my life, all here now in your room, the smell of rose water lingering on the downward edge of time, of our time. I stayed awake until dawn began and your body began to move. Open the curtains, you said, make the room bright. This next poem is Hero and Leander, The Lamp and the Water. I still walk to that lake, the surface now still, absence of geometry, ache of tranquility. A voice but a whisper, soothing, sad, a silver thorn in the side of love. What love creates, need destroys. We put flowers on the table at the change of the season. Then the rains came. We watched through the kitchen window. You turned out the lamp. I love you more than I need you, I said. Now I know what that means. But need, the ache, the silver thorn will have its bloody day. Time passes, seasons change. When I walk to the lake, I stir the surface, the glitter of sun, a dangerous swell, my hand beginning to move into place, a geometry of memories. Next one is Many Cobblestone Paths. Many cobblestone paths ahead, paved with light and sweet simplicity, kitchen windows, coffee and lavender, over and over the mystery of the other, but all paths peel back to a day in the garden, the paddle boats, back to the world as we found it, the jacarandas in bloom, a thousand angels. And finally, Night's End. Long ago, the paseo, lamplit streets, tree with a heart, tongue of a poet, we sat on stone pillows where angels weep. Okay, that's my set for today. Let me send another thanks to Damien and to the community he has helped to bring together. I'm happy and humbled to be in that number. Love you all. Thanks.
Today, I am delighted to say that our collection of the week, Dark Angels, brings to the podcast its authors, who are three contemporary poets. This is book one, and it was published by Paikariki Press just this year. And the first of its contributors is coming up right now, and she is a returning guest stormer, someone I discovered, befriended and admired during lockdown thanks to Catherine Ann Cullen and her exceptional poetry prompts on Twitter for Poetry Ireland during lockdown. That was the former poet in residence of Poetry Ireland, the baton having now been passed on to the incredible Anne Tanham, and we wish her all the best of luck in that role. Now, back to today. This guest is a Belfast-based poet and a visual artist. Her work has appeared in places like The Other Language, The Honest Ulsterman, Valley Press Anthology, Washing Windows 1, 2 and 3, and Poetry Jukebox's Climate Change Curation, which appeared in Belfast and Paris. She recently made the shortlist for Poems for Patience and was also shortlisted and commended for the 2022-2023 Coast to Coast to Coast Poetry Competition. She is a professional member of the Irish Writers' Centre and is Vice Chair of Irish Pen. I'm delighted to welcome back to the Poetry Podcast, Thérèse Kieran.
Hello, I'm Thérèse Kieran, and I'm delighted to have been invited back to the Eat the Storms podcast. Thank you, Damien, and congratulations on creating such a fabulous poetry podcast. I'm going to read poems from the recently published Dark Angels, Three Contemporary Poets, which is namely myself and the wonderful Tim Rich and John Simmons. This is Dark Angel's first volume of poetry. There will be more, and it's been beautifully produced by Pai Kakariki Press, a stunning letterpress workshop and publisher in London. And the book is available from paikakarikipress.com. My first two poems might be a bit of a clue that motherhood and relationships are dominant themes in my work. My first poem is Poet Mother. She had three children, but might have had 10. Velcro babies, toddlers hanging off her hips, four-year-olds shouting, up, up, up. She draped their arms like scarves around her neck, sniffed their sweaty play, their day at school, washed each face with kisses, read their missives, sense or no sense. Her intent was always good, better, best. But one by one, just as she'd known, these kids were grown, not gone, but looking down at her, looking up, up, up. And she was stuck, really stuck. In every queue, she rocked from side to side, learned that bags, at least two, were something to hold when walking. Her waking day was filled with absent ache, so she took to carrying books. In the crook of an arm, managed several, varied her selection, novellas, new collections, added notebooks, laptops, pens and pencils. She wrapped her arms like ropes around the hard lines and fragile spines until quietly she squealed. They do not yield, they do not yield, until her head hurt, trying to explain the unplanned yet much wanted arrival of oh so many poems. My second poem is In the Psychiatrist's Waiting Room with My Son. I think I might shrink. Shrink to the size of a pea. Roll off this chair onto threadbare carpet where someone is bound to crush me to a pulp. I'm halfway there, mashed, beaten, squeezed, but wonder, how does she do it? How does she listen to swing and moody blues? You'd feel like giving them a shake, but they're already all shook up, and this isn't rock and roll. And now this too hot room is filling with a balloon, swelling up, puffing out, pinning us to walls, and its too thin skin is about to burst. During April 2023, Belfast's Queen's University hosted Agreement 25, a major conference to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. It was amazing to reflect and look back at how far we've come, even though it might not seem like it at times. But believe me, 25 years of peace have had a truly positive impact to life in the north of Ireland. I've chosen the next two poems from our Dark Angels first poetry book as a reminder of the dark days of the Troubles, times we can never, ever contemplate going back to. The first, Storytime, recalls a childhood memory, a gun battle between the IRA and the army outside my primary school. My father, who was also the principal of this tiny three-teacher school along the Louth-Armagh border, was the hero of the hour, and so it's dedicated to him for being not just my dad that day, but for being everyone's dad. Story time. When the bullets played chasey round Ballinacloche School, we scattered like marbles. Then, in a high-pitched scrum, we scrambled steps, tumbled into the master's arms, and with eagle wings he flapped us down. We grew small, small, smaller, played statues, joined the black dots of our widening eyes. The world map swung, and under desks we studied hard gum, listened intently to the ticking clock, interrupted by the rat-a-tat-tat, the snap, crack, pop, the tick-tock, until my father's voice, like caramel, was blanket and pillow around a story. One day, summer, good guy, bad guy. My final poem is dedicated to my daughter Meg, a peace baby, born in 1998, the same year the Good Friday Agreement was signed. Tragically, it was also the year of the Omagh bomb on the 15th of August, which caused the death of 31 innocent people, including unborn twins. It is recorded as the largest loss of life in a single incident in the Northern Ireland history of the Troubles. Milestone. That summer, a Saturday afternoon, my belly blown in the third trimester, I shopped alone in town, covertly squirreling away pink. Don't get me wrong, I'd loved the blue years, but little pink things tickled me no end. When news of the Omagh bomb trickled through, I headed home, and later, an arm tucked around my boy, him wedged in, our free arms straps across my belly, grounding our tent. She will be 20 this year, and I can still summon the quiet delight of knowing I was carrying a girl. Thank you very much for listening, and thanks again, Damien, for this wonderful poetry podcast.
The second poet responsible for our collection of the week, Dark Angels, is also the co-founder of the writing organisation Dark Angels and also 26, a writers' collective. His own book, Dark Angels, inspired writers at work to take a more creative approach to writing and developed into an international programme of workshops that use techniques of poetry and storytelling. His first book, We, Me, Them and It, was recently republished in a 21st anniversary edition. He is also the author of the novels Leaves, Spanish Crossings and The Good Messenger. I am delighted to welcome to Eat the Storms for the first time, John Simmons.
Many thanks, Damien. This is John Simmons, one of the three Dark Angels poets, alongside Therese Kieran and Tim Rich. First poem I'm going to read is called Suffolk Churches. This came out of that time when we were just getting out of lockdown and all that and could go out again on trips into the countryside, and I went to Suffolk, and I've always loved churches to visit. Suffolk Churches. Please give generously to maintain this house of God. Art is God's gift. These carvings in wood, oil paintings in frames, these stone galleries spanning the vaulted ages, ancient brass beneath our feet, encircled by glass windows stained. I wish to save this place, not for God, but for those people of the future, so they too can feel something deeper than the paper pages of a Sunday best Bible in chains. A spirit is in this place, whatever that might be. It drifts in the air like incense, dust motes on the streams of sunshine, floating through the glassy images of angels and saints. Something inside me kneels, something inside me genuflects, something like bread on my tongue, something like wine on my lips, something that I yearn for, something that I resist. I sit on the pew, as others have before, through quiet centuries of meditation, my hand resting on the glory of wood, while my eyes read stories of joy and pain. Outside, I tread the grass between gravestones, greystones splattered with yellow splashes of lichen, words worn away by time and weather, by loss and wind and rain, as if a careless painter had wandered through, unable to resist making an impression. Spare a coin, they seem to say, a thought for the nameless who lie beneath this grassy earth, as well as those like Eliza, Thomas and Ada, who proudly wear their names. Above, in the sky, so high it seems not to move, a bird of prey rests on a canvas of blue, as if placed there by the hand of a bygone child who once made a painting. Poems are written from many emotions. That last one might have been written from a place of quiet reflection. The next one was written out of some anger. It followed the vigil that women held for Sarah Everard after she'd been murdered by a policeman in the southeast of England. And the Metropolitan Police decreed that the vigil had to be silent. This poem is called A Vigil is Silent. Nothing was said. It seemed that Sarah was forced to rest in silence. The decree pushed down that a vigil would not permit speech on police orders. Women protesting would be manhandled to the ground. The thought stirred, uneasy as the wind rippling through the crowd, that Sarah must have been manhandled to the ground on police orders, speechless. So now I sound a silent scream of rage and sorrow and shame at my own sex, for they said there was nothing to be said that would make things seem better for Sarah and those countless other women silenced. So nothing was said, but in my head I screamed these words. Another woman was dead. Another woman was dead. Another woman was dead. The next poem was written the day after a Monday morning rubbish collection, and it's called Dear Planet. I decided to write you a letter of sorts while taking a walk down the street. The bin men had been yesterday, and today there was excess mess refusing to be cleared. So here are 4 discarded face masks, 3 empty shopping bags drowned in pavement puddles, a penny, a few cigarette butts, 1 kiss by red lipstick, the slammed door of a failed relationship, a plastic straw, weeds pushing between paving stones, a single cardboard box, paint tins rusted out of doors, the brush of an urban fox slipping between the bins, the busted flush of cards thrown in the charcoal ash of a burnt-out barbecue grill, an overflowing skip of a life carelessly smashed, the split bag of decaying fruit and peelings, spilt feelings that couldn't be kept inside, family secrets with nowhere to hide. Not wanting to be swept aside, nature sheds a tired fall of leaves. Scattered pale straw lingers long after the summer street party. Ragged crows peck at rotten things to eat. A brown paper bag with wasted sandwich. Blown on the wind, a suppressed scream of anguish. Oh, the will to do better. The desire to turn unwanted litter into a hopeful letter. Last poem is called Where Will We Go? When the sun is out and the skies are beckoning blue, when the sea glistens like a mirror and there's salt on the tongue and a spray of foam on the face, where will we go? When the light goes out on the moonless sky is midnight blue, when night's creatures peer in through windows and there's a coin on the tongue and a spray of flowers on the body, where will we go?
Our final author, responsible for the collection of the week, Dark Angels, published by Paikariki Press earlier this year, is a writer and lo-fi photographer. His words and images have appeared in places like Oscillations, Random, Spectacular and Arterial. His piece Landfill, featuring a poem and four photographs, was exhibited at the Bloomsbury Festival in London and is now also a limited edition letter print press. He writes for a living and is a New York Times best-selling ghostwriter and author, and also a member of Dark Angels Collective, and also the other co-founder of the Writing Collective 26. Joining us from Hastings in England, it's a joy to welcome for the first time to the podcast, Tim Rich.
Hello, Damo. Hello, everyone. My name is Tim Rich. I live in Hastings, in sunny Sussex by the sea, in southern England. If you hear excitable seagulls and other birds in the background, that's the reason why. It's not a sound effect. And I'm very happy to be reading for you today. I'm going to read two poems. My first poem is from a new book called Dark Angels, Three Contemporary Poets, published by Paikariki Press in London. And I'm so happy to have poems in this book, along with two fabulous writers, Therese Kieran and John Simmons. I've chosen this poem from the book because I absolutely love it when a poem takes on a life of its own. And in this case, I found out that readers had been sharing it with friends and family of theirs who had moved home. And you've moved to a new place, sharing it like a moving card. This poem is called Occupied. We buttered the cat's paws and baked bread in borrowed tins to make the unfamiliar speak of pleasure and our intentions to remain. All that first day, the house talked to itself about us. Later than I expected, light withdrew across our table, unopened crates, back through thin glass towards tomorrow. So the room released its form, and we sat among one another, giving our ears to the conversation, inner doorways muttering behind flat hands, oak floors, Masonic in their black treacle gloss, deciding whether to settle under our presence. Later, in bed, I stared sideways into an unlit universe, absently mind walking the bounds, relocking iron door bolts like an old rifle, drawing drawn curtains a little closer, charting the evaporating path behind that plane's descent. In time, each stray thought went to its home, leaving this accommodation to take place. The air held here, sighing gently, like contented tortoise breaths. The softening percussion of bodies sleeping. The punctuating crack and hiss as fresh eggs are broken into a smoking pan. Someone opening a window. The second poem is new. It's just been emerging on the page over the last few weeks. And I never really know what I'm going on about until I start to get right into the editing process. And what I realised with this one is I think it's a meditation on my uncertain connection with nature. I would love to feel that I am absolutely in full resonance with the natural world. But am I? In this age of artificial intelligence and manufactured environments and digital lives, how much of a nature boy am I really? I think also there might be a sub-theme in here about some of the magical thinking that goes on in terms of other places in our life. As well as being English, I'm also a little bit Irish. Do I have a romantic feeling about the other places? I also love Greece. Do I have unrealistic romantic connections with Greece and ideas around Greece? So I think there are a few different themes in here. This poem is called The Extinction of the Wild Bears of Ireland. A man who sounds full of sunlight is on the radio talking about the extinction of the wild bears of Ireland. To be honest, I wasn't paying much attention, but that line, the picture it drew, two wild bears, earth brown, both taller than a van, each eye glinting like water in a well, noses raised towards an uncertain evening, all about some rain-fresh world, velvet meadows, blessings of firethorn falling onto claw-marked paths. And yet, my mind doesn't go far until it runs into earthworks, gates, enclosures. Bears prowling outside a new garden wall. A van? A well? It's like my imagination was born in a stable and my thoughts remain gathered within a field. Is there really anything wild left in any one of us? Some inner terrain holding the enormity of a wilderness? Oh, but that voice again, is his name McMahon, strolling across such distance, nearly singing to us now of the animals' retreat into mountain caves, the thick bones found huddled about themselves, telling us that something important died therein. I try again to imagine before. Unbordered land, bears smashing into oil-fat salmon, resting in a roll-around nest of gorse and sage, cinnamon light warming the last of the bilberry's nameless birds, noting shifts of power in the hair-quick wind. I see it all, but perhaps this land is too free for me to truly know. And I worry that my bears will soon accept an apple for from the tree. Thank you for listening.
For our final port of call today here on Eat the Storms, we are headed to Berlin in Germany for a 24-year-old poet, originally from Trim here in Ireland, who's also lived in Paris, where he studied fine art at Les Beaux-Arts. He has been writing for several years, although he's been known more for his visual art creatives. But now, he is currently expanding his literary pursuits and predominantly within the medium of poetry. Today, it is a feast of first-time stormers mingled with two fantastic returning guests. For the first time to Eat the Storms, please sit back in the company of Alan Monaghan.
Hey, Damien. I hope all is well. I hope you're good. My name is Alan Monaghan. I'm a 24-year-old artist, writer, poet, originally from Trim, County Mead. Living in Berlin at the moment. I was in Paris for a while. I was studying art over there. Pier of the Shan Key. Below the pier lies a despondent boat, creased and crested by its lonesome odyssey, now held to ransom by winter. The barely ripples that float strike in faint memory. An ancient wind changes its greys, save the red alphabet that peels and cracks the mist, the clouds, the tales, in which life peers through all, standing on the edge of mythology. Skated nation. So many people touched to be touched, stitched into a caress like a train along its infinite tracks that rides the skated nation, seen out blockaded windows. The train stops and the cabin clap of disembarkment. A solo traveller, disemboweled of their connection, as empty as the Scirocco's piazza, his destination. Standing by a statue, a dear companion, resigning in flamboyant expression, but again unmatched. So he resides into the illuminating shadows. Let the eyes of emptiness lay bare. For some slow minutes, he catches his breath and uncreases his frown, now stuck to the repellent that punges the air. Every escape goes north, as do watchtowers, mutually isolated, neutral to the ground. With each step climbed, independence unblurs, echoed sentiments recede at his feet, his Achilles a basin of strength, magnetized to the summit, closer to the clouds and their power of reflection. The shrieking wheels cry of a stale truth. Black smoke fills the sky below the blue. As that train pulls up to a place now known, yet untouched, as it is sacred. Empathy defaced by mere relation. Another soul, another piazza, eternally separated by their shared journey. Basking in sun and isolation, life rendering and a life reminded, authority owned by those looking down. Train mourns west and moves quick from the east, dancing and whining and joking and lying, windows blessed with their acceptance. But a hesitancy sits solemn in his eyes. The train will come again, another destination untold.
Trim. Love to see the fuss escape hurried women, for broken sinks to be at peace with men, for taps to flow of black and cream, the price to drop for all around. I wish a chipper's Friday be a school kid's always, homework for defeat and of adventure, for pockets to always rattle with glee, for shutters to never triumph. I want to hear the church bells ring, for all its wrath to chase its sound.
the confession box to brim with virtue, for pious knees to find their answers. I long to hear the river's stories, for skim-thrown stones to never sink, for mitts to bite the bait of wonder, overflowing in only magic. I hope to see the castle glow, for its shadow to run to foreign hills, for its stones and rocks of grey to bloom, flowers to grow on adoration. I set my heart on luminous skies, dawn and dusk light the edge ablaze, for blues that court the ice cream van, for pots of gold to pinch the drizzle. I dream of roads to tune dancing feet, for trees to hum enchanting songs, for clouds to sprinkle of lust and heart, the fields immortally green and festive. I yearn for bunting of white and red, for roofs to hold their essence strong, car horns to keep the breeze afloat, for dandelions to kiss the colours, euphoric.
Now, before we finally finish this evening, I'm going to leave you with three poems. Recently, I've been working on a series of frastic poems inspired by various artists and their paintings, and actually inspired by one of John's poems today, particularly in reference to the styling of Sarah Everard's Vigil. I'm going to read a sequence that is called During and After the Break. They are inspired by three paintings by Stanley L. Reckless, and the first one after his painting Surreal Silence, Surreal Landscape. In this painting itself, it depicts three female figures in the foreground, looking back over a lake towards a landscape of fields with green smoke rising from it between the mountains. And there is a path that they appear to have taken that seems almost laden with raspberries. This poem is called Verdant Smoke and Red Berry on the Early Path, Out, Over, Away. They left under veil, laid berry under foot, plump of path recalling form before being was crushed like grape, like lung depleted of air. On the far side of chains, a lake spread itself out as tar between their trail and the thought of ever going back. Before slipping from frame, they regarded the tattoos of the other side, tingle on skin from buckle, blade, blunt force of unquestioning custom. Envious of fast foot, their staid sisters burnt their belongings, removed trace and every reminder of their own inability to run reckless. They'd left under veil, berry under foot, plump path impossible to track a print. On the far side of the bed, breath raged in masters, inflamed by broken chains. The second poem is inspired by the painting by Stanley L. Reckless called After Evening. This painting depicts a young woman in a red dress sitting on a bench, a body of a female lying on her lap, small, reduced. Another female to her left, her head covered in hair, crying. Behind her, there is a red trunk of a tree reflecting a burning city in the distance. This poem is called Red, Alone, on the Other Side. On a bench, after the break, chest still ablaze. Red refuses to regard their remains. You can plan a path, a passage, an exodus, but not all participants can keep up with the pace. In a valley, after the veils, she burrows a bed for broken berries, releases their veins upon the bark, tucks them down into the earth, soil to soothe the skin. She will leave them later, walk on from their bodies, buried far from where they once were burned alive in darker beds. And the final poem is inspired by Stanley's painting New Hope Penna. This is an entirely different painting. It is of a landscape, a stream flowing towards the foreground. On either side, the banks rise up and are filled with snow, leading out to a cottage in the distance. Soft roof comforted by more snow. Simple, serene, silent. This poem is called When You Find Your Own Soldiers. Eventually, everything settles. Surge into stream. House into home, snow into soil that will melt by noon and will take with it the tracks that led you here and the possibility of being brought back. Cold can be cleansing. Exhale and watch the breath dance on the open air. Remember, you are not dead, done. All the rest is for dust. The trees can be soldiers to shade your summer, heat the winter of your fire. On the other side of leaving, all it takes is to unpack your fear, toss it in the fire someone else started. The snows will cover the rest. Well, I hope you've had a good evening, good afternoon, or even a good morning, because we've now reached the end of another episode of Eat the Storms, the poetry podcast. Thank you so much for joining us here today. My name is Damien B. Donnelly. I've been your host and producer. And let me tell you that this show every week is put together with enormous gratitude to all the poets who take part. And today, those incredible creators have been Therese Kieran, Tim Rich, and John Simmons, who together are responsible for our collection of the week, Dark Angels, Three Contemporary Poets, published by Pakariki Press. Therese, Tim and John were joined today by the brilliant Gary Gauthier and newcomer to Eat the Storms, Alan Monahan. For details on all of my guests on today's show and where to find, follow and even buy their collections, head on over to www.eatthestorms.com. Click on the podcast section called Listen to the Podcast and there you will find a blog post for every episode. And in that blog post you will find links to bios, social media handles, websites, places that you can find, follow and be their friends. This was episode 7, season 7. In that blog post, you will also find a link to the John Hewitt International Summer School if you fancy coming along to Armagh, taking part in the workshops, listening to the writers from poets to prose writers to novelists like Joe O'Connor. It will be a sensational full-on week from Monday to Saturday, so don't miss this opportunity. Now, of course, just a reminder that submissions have now officially closed for the third issue of The Storms, our journal of poetry, prose and visual arts. So it's time for Nitty and myself to lose our eyesight for a little while we read, review and admire the incredible selection of poetry, prose and visual arts that you've sent to us from around the world. It really is an honour to curate this printed journal made here in Ireland and then see it taking flight, going all around the world as its very own tornado. Once again, congratulations to Anne Tannum, who has just stepped into the role of poet in residence at Poetry Ireland, filling in the fantastic shoes of Catherine Ann Cullen, who was there for the past 2 years, and now Anne is taking the reins, bringing the platform right out into the community and onto the streets. That's it for me for today. I'm off to do the final edits on my second full collection, which will be coming out next year. And the closer it gets and the more real it becomes, the more excited I get, especially because I get to work with a new editor and publisher who's already absolutely brilliant. More details on that coming very soon. For now, that's it from me. I've been Damien B. Donnelly. This has been Eat the Storms. Until next time, take care of yourselves. Eat, drink and write, write and write. And of course, as always, stay bloody poetic.
Oh, thank you.